This Labor Day weekend, I am out of town at our district retreat. I thank our congregational chairman, Dwight Beecher, for reading this message in worship yesterday. This devotion is adapted from Pastor Daniel Deutschlander's book on giving advice to God. The sermon reading comes from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Friends, grace and peace to you from God the Father and from his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't verse 51 so surprising? Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. What is Jesus thinking? We might have expected it to end differently. Were God in the habit of asking for our advice, we might have told him that it should go this way. Then he went down to Nazareth with them where they were obedient to him. Or maybe this way, since they had shown themselves unworthy, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem and found a better set of parents to care for him. Or how about this? Once they got back to Nazareth, he never let them forget their mistake, but held it over their heads for the rest of their days. Wouldn't that have been good and right? For Mary and Joseph, to be clear, had failed. Leaving aside all the other details, we focus on what they had done here. They left a 12-year-old child by himself for days. They lost track of the Son of God entrusted to their care. We have all experienced in one way or another incompetence from above. We have all been subject to the whims and demands of someone who made more than we did, but knew less than we did. And alone in all of human history, Jesus is the one who would have had the power to set things right in our eyes. Jesus could have taken charge. Jesus should have taken charge, we think. But that's not the way Jesus is. It's not how he was with Mary and Joseph. It's not how he is now with you and me. Jesus demonstrates both humility and holiness in his perfect obedience to the fourth commandment, which he had given through his servant Moses 15 centuries before. From Exodus 20, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Christ, who gave this law, lived under it during his time among us. And in demonstrating this humility and this holiness, he prepares himself for the day when he will redeem us from our sins against that commandment. He submits to his earthly parents, even though he was in a better position to tell them what to do than they could ever be to instruct him. He puts to shame the teenager, who thinks he could run the house better than his parents and so treats them with contempt. The child sometimes is right, sometimes he could run the household better than his parents, but that's not the role God has given him. Christ's obedience speaks to the church member who thinks he'd be a better preacher than his pastor, and so speaks ill of him. Even if he's right, that's not his role. Rather, Lutherans of our confession recite these scriptures when we install a pastor. "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden." Hebrews chapter 13. Christ's submission to his parents puts to shame the wife who is sure she should be the head of the family instead of her dim husband. Again, she may indeed be a better head than he, but that's not the way God has arranged things. Her assignment is that of helping him to be a better head of the family than he could be without her support. Christ's obedience and love for Mary and Joseph put to shame the husband, who imagines that his wife is there to serve his every whim and fancy. That's not his assignment. Far be it from us to express the husband's role in such a way. No, his assignment is to treat her the way that Christ treated the church, with love and respect and all possible care. We all have roles in which God has placed us. Roles in the home, roles in gainful employment, roles at church and in the state. Do the roles we have in life change over time? Certainly. But as long as we occupy a particular role, even if we could do better the assignment of another in another role, part of our life as a Christian is to imitate the humility of the child Jesus. He served. He helped. He didn't backbite or hold over his parents' heads their obvious faults and failures. Isn't it amazing how often the life of Jesus puts such a different spin on our own lives? We would scarcely think of it that submission and respect is an important and noble work were it not for Jesus' obedience to his so flawed parents. Our world certainly does not esteem submission and respect, but we see it as a spirit-worked fruit of joyful faith. Likewise, it would hardly occur to us, were we worldly people, that arrogance toward those who exercise authority in the home, at work, in the church, and in the state is any kind of sin. Only by our Savior's gentle quietness toward Mary and Joseph are we at once made aware of our own trespasses, yet also fully comforted by knowing that his righteousness covers over our childish pride. We know further that he showed this gentle quietness in submission and obedience as the years went by and he grew into an adult. We know that our Savior's perfect life covers not only our juvenile rebellions, but also our prideful adult contempt, for our text tells us, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In servant lowliness, he hid his divine wisdom and became a student. In humility, the God-man lived and walked among other children and young adults, and all of it he did in such a way that none could reproach him. He grew in favor with God, his obedience and his human nature was perfect. He grew also in favor with people. Those who saw him and lived with him had only good things to say about him. None could say of him, 'He thinks he's better, or smarter, or holier than everyone else.' It would have been true had he said it, and no doubt this was very obvious, but in every moment, his love for his Father in heaven, and for us, was what he made complete and visible." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we marvel at your example of humility. We are amazed at the humility you still show, even now in glory. You do not despise us in our imperfections, our imagined wisdom and importance. You do not hold all our foolishness and sins forever over our heads. Rather, in grace and mercy, you still stoop to dwell with us. In kindness, you forgive our faults, and with mercy, you shield us from the full consequences of our folly. In love, you promise to never abandon us or let us go. Oh, that we might grow daily in wisdom from you through your word. Let us ever grow in our appreciation of your Father's favor, given by your forgiveness granted in the word and sacraments. By our lives of humble service, may those around us come to see you more and more. Amen.